see you all this morning. Yous are all in great form this morning. Around chatting to yous all down for the old chatting. Yeah, God is good. Isn't it great to have somewhere to come on a Sunday and to be able to just draw aside from all the busyness and all that the week holds? And I'm sure everyone in this house is very busy. But you know, when you come into God's house, then you can just leave it aside and just say, Lord, just refresh me and strengthen me and send me out again into next week. Isn't that right? So it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And I have just been thinking a lot lately about surrender. And the scripture that's been on my mind is about the grain of wheat. You know that scripture? Does anybody know it? Except the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it does, it brings forth much fruit. Isn't that right? And these were the words of Jesus. And this morning I kind of want to talk a wee bit about the power of one and how significant one life is to many. And just, I want to read that passage of scripture this morning in John chapter 12, and it's from verse, let me see, where am I? Yeah. No verses on this. Is that funny Bible? Anyway, from verse 12, anyway, I think it is. Would you believe there's no numbers on the verse in this Bible? Be jingles. You just have to follow me now. Anyway, I'm reading, and it says about the next day, a huge crowd had arrived for the feast, heard that Jesus was entering Jerusalem. They broke off palm branches and went out to meet him, and they cheered, Hosanna, blessed are you who comes in God's name. Yes, the King of Israel. Jesus got a young donkey and rode on it, just as the scripture has it. No, do not fear, daughter of Zion. See, your king comes riding on a donkey. The disciples didn't notice the fulfillment of many scriptures at the time. But after Jesus was glorified, they remembered what was written about him, matched what was done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb, raising from the dead, was there giving eyewitness accounts. It was because it spread the word of this latest God sign that the crowd swelled to a welcoming parade. The Pharisees took one look and threw up their hands. It's out of control. The world's in a stampede after him. There were some Greeks in town who'd come up to worship at the feast. They approached Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. Sir, we want to see Jesus. Can you help us? And Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip together told Jesus, and Jesus answered, the time is up. The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. In the same way, anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. But if you let it go, be reckless in your love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. If anyone wants to serve me, then follow me. Then where I am, you will be ready to serve at a moment's notice. The Father will honour and reward anyone who serves me. Praise God. Is that the Message Bible? Surely got up upstairs. Very good. No numbers on the verses, but anyway. Praise God. The Lord is good. Keep you on your toes this morning. A single corn abides alone. Okay. It's of no use if it doesn't fall into the ground, right? And I was reading it just a wee bit this morning. You know the way you'd be Googling, Garrett? You know yourself, the old Google's handy. Just reading a wee bit about the grain of wheat, you know. And I was just talking about a farmer who, you know, sows seeds of wheat. And do you know that this man in particular, this farmer, said he sows 2 bushel of seed to an acre. Now, does anybody know what a bushel weighs? Ah, oh, come on. Oh, there's a wee hand up in the corner. Well, what do you think, Rachel? I didn't know they looked it up. Anyway, one bushel is about 70 pounds, so two bushels is 140 pounds, okay? And an acre, what size is an acre? Yeah. Ah, what size is it as regards? What would you think? It's like the size of a field, like a football field. Sorry? 12 plots. 12 plots? All right. We'll stick with the football field, I think. Right. Anyway. Come here. Anyway. So, he says that he sows two bushels of kernels into an acre field, right? And that yields 2,500 loaves of bread. Isn't that amazing, isn't it? And one wee seed, and they're all sown individually, can produce so much, can't it? And then I was reading about this Nobel Prize winner back in 1970. Now, don't ask me his name because I can't pronounce it. Anyway, you can look it up yourself. And he had developed, he's a doctor something, Dr. Burlog, right? Anyway, he developed a high-yielding, disease-resistant strain of wheat that he brought to the farming community of India and Pakistan. And the result was a green revolution, it says. In both countries, they just produced massive, massive food for the people. And they saved millions of lives in the process. Isn't that amazing? Just wee seeds planted, and it saved millions of lives. And I went on to say that he joined with others then to bring these seeds to other 9 or 10 countries on the African continent as well. So these seeds, so small, when they were sown, saved millions and millions of lives. Are you getting the story this morning? Your life, the power of one, can make such a difference. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say it to you, unless a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Now, we see in this passage that, you know, in this context, Jesus is, you know, it's a celebration going on there. And there was people, the Greek philosophers were looking to see Jesus, you know. Any philosophers in the house? They had heard about him and, you know, they just wanted to see him and hear him for themselves. And so they went to Andrew, who told Philip, and they told Jesus, look, these Greek philosophers are looking to see you. Now, here was an opportunity for the flesh, wasn't it? To show off. Isn't that right, Bruna? Show off, you know. I'm the king. They're after being saying, Hosanna to the king. And here was an opportunity for Jesus to say, well, you know, I am the King of Kings. I am the Lord of Lords. All power and authority belongs to me. Yeah, do you want to hear some philosophy, true philosophy, you know? Yeah. Well, here's the man. But Jesus didn't take that opportunity and use it in that way. He said, right, here goes. Now, the time has come now for the Father to be glorified. My time has come. And this is what he said, as we read. If a grain of wheat does not fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it will produce much fruit. And he was talking about himself and his death on the cross. And you know, Jesus wasn't just doing that for himself. He was, by his example, teaching us this is what it's about. When I go into that ground, when I die for the sins of the world, there is going to be a massive harvest from that. Billions, billions of souls being saved. But my life must go into the ground in order to produce many, many people, many lives being saved. And, you know, it just struck me, the example that Jesus was setting for us. You know, he's given us, we all have a life this morning. We're all here and in good health, please God. But it's more than that, isn't it? Our lives just on their own, and I'm sure there is great jobs in this house, there's great ministries, there's great mams and dads, uncles, aunties, grannies, whatever. There's great jobs in the sense of maybe great careers here in this house this morning. Doctors, teachers, lawyers, accountants, students. All our lives have some meaning in some ways regards our background and what we do, whatever. But you know, it's more than that, isn't it? It's more than that this morning. And those things in themselves, yes, will produce a harvest in our lives, of course, they will. But we want to, the bigger picture, don't we, this morning? We want to sow our lives into something that's going to produce a harvest for God. This is amazing, isn't it? And I just really, you know, in my heart this morning to encourage you, it's not just your life, you know what I mean? It's not just you this morning. It's God in you and the plans and the purposes that he has for you. There is a bigger picture. It's living for the greater cause, isn't it? And this morning, thinking about that, thinking about Jesus, you know, I was thinking about this last week. You know, when it came to the bit, it's all right to say something. And, you know, some of us are good at saying stuff, me in particular, you know. But the doing of it and the walking out of it is not so easy. Sure, it's not. And Jesus, you know, made this great statement, didn't he? You know, about the grain falling into the ground. And then he says, you know, he who loves his life, you know, tries to hold on to his life, and just for the sake of life itself, will lose it. But he that loses life for my sake will find it. And Jesus just didn't say that, you know, about the grain of wheat. He went on to demonstrate and actually die for us, didn't he? Sowed his life on our behalf. Thank God he rose again and produced multitudes of believers. And it's not enough for us to just say, and you know, even hear this morning the word of God. Oh, wasn't that a great word? Oh, I didn't say it was a great word. But wasn't that good this morning to be reminded about that? That's not enough. We need to act on what God is saying. And you know, I was thinking about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when it came to the punch then, didn't it? And he struggled, didn't he? He struggled before he actually went to the cross. And he prayed, 3 times he prayed. Oh, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And it talks about his sweat being like drops of blood. So in the doing of things, in the carrying out of what God wants us to do, even Jesus struggled. The cost to his own soul, his mind, you know, was under great pressure because he knew in his heart what the will of God was. He knew in his mind the cross was before him. We were all in front of him. But the actual surrendering to that then was difficult for Jesus. So don't cut yourself some slack this morning if you're struggling, about really carrying out the will of God. Because it's so important, isn't it? It's not a light thing to submit and surrender to that will of God for your life. We're all great now. We can do all the things. Oh, I'll do this, Lord, I'll do that, Lord. But it's maybe that's not what God is saying. The very thing that he is saying to you to do, maybe you're running away from it this morning even in this house. And the struggle is real. You know deep down, there's more than just being a mommy. There's more than just being the daddy. There's more than just being the doctor, the teacher, the lawyer, the healthcare worker. There's more than just being the student, being at college. There's more. You know there's more. You know that God has called you to a greater calling. There's a higher calling. And he's calling you. And maybe you are struggling this morning. Jesus struggled. He prayed. He said, God, if it's possible, would you take this cup from me? 3 times he prayed. And he even asked the disciples to pray with him. Spend a wee while watching there, and they fell asleep. And sometimes, guys, when you are on your own, when you're on your own with God, maybe nobody else really understands the battle and the call that's on your life. And you wish they did. But the reality is, Jesus was on his own then. He had to go through with God, and you have to go through with God, and I have to go through with God. In that quiet place, and let us just deal and do business with what God really wants for our lives. It's time, isn't it? Listen, we're hearing this morning even about serving in the simple things. And you can say, oh yeah, I hope so-and-so's listening to that. She'd be great doing that. He'd be great doing that. And I have to say, and I have to send this challenge out this morning, and I'm sorry if I offend anyone. There's a lot of she's in this house that's doing the jobs. The he's need to get up. I'm sorry. The he's need to get up and listen to what God is saying. Sorry if I've offended you. There's some he's, not all she's. But there could be a lot more. Taking hold of what God has taken hold of us for this morning. Are you still friends with me?
Yeah.
Oh, I know when you're going home. I'm going to say goodbye. Jesus struggled. And he knew what was ahead. Yet there was the joy before him as well. It wasn't that he knew that. But it was going to cost. But yet, then he surrendered. And that great prayer, that great cry of victory, Father, not my will, but yours be done. What a cry. What a prayer to pray. And I challenge you this morning, I challenge myself. Just don't live a mundane life. Just don't live for the ordinary things this morning. And there's some lovely things in our lives, isn't there? And family is one of the biggest, isn't it? Yes. And lovely husband, lovely wives, and boyfriends and girlfriends and all that. My lovely husband. I have to say that now in case I'm going to be killed after. Anyway, you know what I shall. I'm building up. But, the greater calling, isn't it? The purpose of God for which he has called you, are you surrendered to it this morning? Are you in that place where you are struggling? And good if you're struggling. If there's a tension going on in your soul, good. Don't be satisfied, as we heard even earlier this morning, don't be satisfied just with the ordinary things of life. There is more. God's purposes and your life can make a difference to so many people. Let's think of Esther this morning. Esther managed what we know was God, get into the position of being queen. But there was more to Esther than being the queen. It wasn't just about being queen, but she could have easily been taken up with being queen. I think I might have been, you know. Wouldn't you be delighted with yourself, Brona? The mall pandering tea and being beautified and everything. You know what I mean? And just going parading yourself. Now, come on. Who wouldn't? That would appeal to you, wouldn't it? You know what I mean? You'd probably get fed up after a while. But anyway, she struggled. She struggled with the will of God. When the call came, is the calling coming to you this morning? Is the calling coming? Is God just getting in there and saying, come on now. You know what I want you to do. You know there's more. Remember when I spoke to you a long time ago? Do you remember? Do you remember that time you couldn't sleep? I was stirring you. I was drawing you. Remember? That call is still there for more. Esther submitted then after a wee bit of a word from her cousin Mordecai. Go back and tell her. Could it be that she's come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Not just to be queen. It was my words. You're not just there to be queen. You're there to fulfill the purpose of God. So Esther responded to the word. And I trust this morning, I hope that you respond to what God is saying this morning. And she called them in, whatever, and they fasted and prayed. And she saved a nation from being, I'm not going to say it right, annihilated. I'm not saying it, annihilated. I got it right there. Yes, one life. Esther, the queen, could have sat back comfortable, couldn't she, Brian? Could have sat there and said, I have it all now. A lovely palace. I have it all going on, maids and everything. And she had to be challenged. It didn't come handy to her. She said, oh no, if I go in before the king, that's it, I'm dead. Dead as a dodo. And she needed that challenge. And we all need the challenge. We all need that kind of thing. Waking up. We heard it even from Lola this morning. Come on. It's not just cleaning. It's not just finance. That was the other thing. Cafe. It's more, it's more, it's more. Whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God. So Jesus didn't use the opportunity to glorify himself. He used it as a teaching, as an example for us. To learn that our lives, sown, dying to our own plans and ambitions, can yield a great harvest. And I am convinced that everyone in this house this morning, from the youngest to the oldest, has a call on their lives to fulfill the purposes of God and to affect the many. You might think, what can I do? Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. And that person can go on then and tell somebody else. Who knows? The people we are in contact with, the people that you have an opportunity to influence and love on for God, even if it's just a smile and a friendly chat. They could be the one that goes on and reaches the millions. Is that right, Garrett? We don't know, but we have to trust and be convinced that God has his hand in our lives and our steps are ordered by the Lord and people are important to God. Every person is important to God and he has a plan for them and he wants to save them. Where am I now? Joseph, another life, well, He wanted to be in charge, as we know from the dreams he had. He thought that was it. He was going to be, you know, the boy in charge of all the... And he did end up being in charge. But it was more than just being in charge. There was the call of God, wasn't on Joseph's life. Which he could have lost the run of himself, as they say, in another fancy place, with everything going from far away from home. You know, when you're far away from home, it's easy just to do your own thing, isn't it? And say, Asha, let them get on with it. But we're never far away from God, you see. And we can do the will of God, can't we? Where we are. So the call was on Joseph's life, and he got his opportunity to speak up, speak about God, and God used him, and he ended up again. He saved the nation. And a beautiful story that. But one life, Joseph, who didn't get it easy either. But he rose to the challenge. Are you going to rise to the challenge this morning of not living just a mediocre life? Are you going to live beyond your means this morning, in the sense relying on the power of God and the call of God in your life, which is beyond you and it's beyond me this morning? And what will it take? It will take for me, take for you, to make a decision. Jesus made a decision that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, didn't he? He made a decision to follow God's will. And in the cold light of day, when we're not in here, when we're at home, when the struggle is real, when things aren't going well, we have to make a decision. When we're caught up in the busyness of life, we still have to make a decision to serve God first and foremost. Isn't that right? Your decision can affect so many people. In your family, as a mom and dad, your decision can affect so many people. Affect your children. It affects your children how you walk. The decisions you make, whether godly or ungodly. And as Lola was saying this morning, but the young people too, you know what I mean? Serving God. You can influence your children by showing them that serving God, following after God's will and purpose for your life, is the most important thing. And they'll catch it. They will catch it. But also, they will catch if it's not the most important thing to you. They'll be influenced by that. But it doesn't have to be like that. And I'm praying this morning we'll all catch that heart of God for each of us this morning. Paul, the apostle. Sure, we know he gives a big list in Philippians chapter 3 of all that he was. Pharisee, above the Pharisees, whatever, as regards the law, faultless, and he did all going on, hadn't he, Brona? As regards the law, he knew his stuff. He knew his stuff. But yet he said, you know what? Even though I have all those things and I have all that knowledge and I've accomplished a lot, I count it all as rubbish. Now, I'm sure people have graduated from college and gone through this, I know that. You know, that's a tough one, isn't it? He said, I count it as rubbish compared to the knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, and the power of his resurrection, of that life that died and rose again, that sowed his life into the ground for me by dying on the cross for my sins. I count all those things, those accomplishments, as rubbish compared to that knowledge compared to the life that Jesus lived. And he said, one thing I do, he said, you know, I'm not all that I should be. And I'd say, we all could put our hands up this morning, definitely I will. I'm not all that I should be. Thank God I'm not what I used to be. I'm maybe somewhere in the middle. Maybe more what I shouldn't be. But anyway, God's helping me. He says, but one thing I do, and I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, this morning. He says, I forget the past. I forget those things that are behind. Because if Paul was to remember all the things that he'd done, and he'd done some bad things as well, and I'm sure all of us this morning, put our hands up, we've all done bad things. But God has forgiven us. Or if you haven't given your life to God, God can forgive you. I talked to somebody a long time ago just about life and regrets, and, you know, it was an elderly person, and we were wishing, you know, looking back, thinking, I wish I hadn't have made that decision. That just wasn't good. And I said, well, you know what? God can forgive you. God can wipe the slate clean and give you a brand new start, no matter what age you are. It's our only hope is a new beginning with God, isn't it? Because which of us here could stand this morning if we think about our past life? But thank God Jesus sowed his life into the ground for us. He died on the cross. He took the punishment that you and I deserve. And he saved us. He rose again. And we can be forgiven this morning. So Paul says, I choose to forget that. Another decision we have to make, sometimes for some of us, on a daily basis, and maybe a few times on a daily basis, because there's some of us are prone to letting the enemy remind us of what we were. And he loves that. And we agree with him. And we get stuck. Paul says, I forget the things that are behind. Forget about it. It's gone. God said he throws our sins into the sea of his forgetfulness. So don't let the devil remind you when God isn't. Remember that. God doesn't remind us. He forgives us. And he says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And listen, brothers and sisters, this morning, I have been through lots of times where I have had to really, really struggle and make that decision. God, I am going to forget. I'm choosing to forget. And I'm pressing in with your help, O God, to take hold of that for which you have taken hold of me. And sometimes I have to do that on a daily basis. The struggle is real. Jesus' struggle was real. His friends deserted him. They were like his family at the time, you know what I mean? There he was. He still went through. And will you go through when you're on your own, oh God? If you have nobody else encouraging you and supporting you, if God is real to you, then you will. Because it doesn't matter who goes with you or who, isn't that it? Gareth, doesn't matter at the end of the day, one is a majority with God. And you're responsible to respond to God, not your brother or your sister. Because they don't encourage me, because they don't say, I can't. They need help. Well, we all need help and we need support. God is your help. He's your strength. He's a very present help in time of trouble. He is your support. David could say, he brought me into a large space. God can give you plenty of space to move and live for him. I don't know why I'm preaching this morning. I know my own life. God is dealing with me. I'm no spring chicken. I'm not old either. But doesn't matter what stage of life we're at. The call is real. The struggle is real. He that loves his life in this world, loves his life, loves to be all about him or her or ambitions and the things of the world and holidays and bigger car, bigger house. They're all lovely things and they're there for us to enjoy. But they're not the main thing. Put them in the right place. He who loves his life in this world will lose it. But he who loses his life, what is he saying? He's saying like Paul, putting those things behind, counting them as rubbish compared to the call of God and the purpose of God. I hope you're getting a wee something of that this morning, because there's great potential in this house this morning. And when God seen us and he saved us, he thought, wow. Wow, what potential is in that life to reach so many. And also the enemy sees that potential. And who knows, and who would agree with me this morning, isn't it the very thing that he comes against in your life to discourage you from pressing on to doing the will of God? And it comes in many different forms, but always has the same result. What's the point? Falling again. They're great. They're always, you know what I mean, no? It's only me. And it's a pity party. And it goes round and round and round and round. And there's no end to it. And guess what's happening? The work that God has called you to do, the person that he wants you to love on, misses out from you. Ultimately, they won't miss out. God will reach them. But when we're distracted, when we're caught up with ourselves, we miss opportunities. We miss the potential to do great things for God. Praise God. I'm challenged this week myself, coming back again to that and saying, God, your will for my life is the most important thing. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added on to you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. If you acknowledge God in everything, if you set him first, David said, I've set the Lord before me at all times. He will do the work in you. It's not you, it's not me. We heard the other night at Flourish, apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide in me, and let my words abide in you, because apart from me, you can do nothing. This is the word of the Lord this morning. For you, for me. Praise God.